Our first reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, and I'm reading Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord, who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen.
The reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned round and rebuked them, and they went to another village. And as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Amen.
A very, very old hymn. I've not sang it for a long time. But the words again speak, don't they? I remember being called into the ministry, local preachers, and then I felt the call to become a deacon. And I remember that time when I was going down the road of checking out the call that God had on my life. And every area I went into, the call was there. And God was saying, you know, "Will you go?" And in the deaconhood, you actually have to go wherever they tell you. And most of you will know I'm very much a family person. My children and everything are very, very close to me. And so I had this struggle with to go forward and call, knowing that I would have to go wherever God was sending me, or did I want to stay with my family? And I remember quite distinctly getting really uptight, trying to work out, you know, whether I was going to go forward for the calling. And it came at a time when there was lots going on in my life. And I remember being in the kitchen, and sorry to say, and I don't want to shock anybody, but I was drinking wine. It was something that many years I used to drink wine just to feel a bit more normal, if you know what I mean, through a lot of things that had gone on. And I was drinking wine, and Clive, if some of you know Clive, so you can imagine his face. It was like, and I took the bottle off me, because I was just getting more and more, because of course there's all this turmoil going on inside of me about this call to be a deacon and this call to leave my children, and oh, there's all that going on. And Clive took the bottle away and poured it down the sink, and I was very cross. I can tell you, I wasn't happy with him. But I had to come to that point, as this song is saying, I had to come to the point in saying to the Lord, okay, I will go where you call me. I will do what you ask me to do, you know. And of course, I went through the deaconhood and got turned down. And again, you know, it was another testing time for our faith, isn't it? So this song has really brought up lots of things to me this morning. So shall we just pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we come in. Walking with Jesus, walking with the Lord, it's not always an easy path. It's not always an easy path. But when I read the psalm, and David's psalm, and when you think of what David had to put up with when he was anointed by the Lord, and Saul, the king, wanted to kill him because the Lord was blessing David because Saul had gone the wrong way and the Lord had taken his hands off Saul and he put his hands on David. And the people were cheering David because he was doing all the things and God was with him and everybody knew that God was with him. But Saul, envy and jealousy. Oh, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him, he was saying. And David was driven out. He was driven out into the wilderness. He was driven out to places. And yet he could still say these words. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. As he was in the caves and that, you can imagine him sitting there saying, protect me. Protect me, Lord, you know, in this place, this wilderness, protect me. I take my refuge in you. I take my refuge in you. I take it, Lord. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. David was quite sure within himself he could do nothing on his own. He had nothing without the Lord. His confidence had to be in the one and only, great I am. He knew his God. Protect me. Look after me. Take care. My refuge is in you. My refuge is in you. As for the Holy One in the land, the Holy Ones in the land, they're noble, in whom all my delight. Again, that's about being in a family. You know, being in a family of believers, being with believers, knowing them, taking delight in being with somebody who knows the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's nothing greater than somebody that you meet and you know instantly that they're in the Lord. They shine through. We were doing a Holy Spirit day on Friday. And there was a lady from Brough who was there. And I said to her, do you know, the first time I met you, I knew there was something there. I just knew it. I could feel it. We had a connection. And that connection was Jesus Christ, of course. Because her love for the Lord was great. And I have a friend, and she says, whenever we meet, we never talk about the worldly stuff. We talk about our faith, our love. Because by talking about it, we build each other up. We build each other up. To talk about your faith, to talk about who Jesus is to you and how you love him and how you know that he loves you with one another. And that's what David was saying. They are my delight. They are my delight. They are my delight. But he does say, he sees the enemy. He sees the evil in the world. And the words in the psalm was, I choose not to go there. I choose not to go there. It's my choice. The Lord has given us choice. The Lord has given us free will. We make that choice. It's our choice. Whether we go into the lion's den or whether we stay out. This week, I was talking to someone and I thought, you are not coming into my garden. My fence is up. You can get to the gate, but you're not allowed in. He was saying things that were not what I wanted, and I didn't want them in my life, and I wasn't going to have them in. I went on a boundary course not long ago, and that course reminded me that I had a choice about my gate, and my gate was Jesus Christ. And I choose who I allow to come into my garden. I choose who I allow to listen to. And this is what David's saying. I choose not to listen to the evil out there. I choose not to listen to the lies that are being said. I choose not to listen. Because I have you, my God, as my protector. I have you, my God, as my refuge. You are the truth. You tell truth. The enemy tells lies. And if we listen to the enemy's lies, he will want to destroy. He will want to destroy the truth within us. We don't want that, do we? David didn't want it. Even though he was in a really hard place, he did not want it. And he said, I will not have it. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup, my hold, my lot. The Lord is my lot. He is everything that I want. David's confidence in the Lord. I took some words from Hebrew, and these are the words from 13, 6 to 8. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. When you've got a good leader and you see their faith, you know how to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that psalm. I love that verse. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. David knew this of God. He knew this of God. We know it of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, that the veil would be cut in two, and that we could go through to the grace of God. We could sit with God. We could sit with him. We can sit with our Lord. We can trust him completely. Our confidence is in him. Our confidence is in our helper. He is the Lord. There is so much in this psalm. The Lord, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm in bed and I can't sleep and I'm just tossing and turning and it's, you know, but God is there and I'm constantly saying, I know you're here. I know you will guide me. I know you will instruct me. I know this. For your word tells me this. Even though I can't sleep, your word tells me that you will instruct me. You will guide me. You will show me. Because that's what the word says. So when I toss and I turn, which is quite often, and I just continually remember who I belong to. Who I belong to. The thoughts in my head that sometimes keep me awake, I do not belong to those thoughts. I belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are the body. We are the member of the body. We are one with each other. One with each other. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices and my body also rests secure. That's why I chose, rejoice, rejoice, for Christ is in you. Because that's what I believe. I believe you are given to God as a gift. You have given yourself. You have said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Send me wherever you want to send me. Take me wherever you want to take me. Here I am. Here I am. When I was rejected for the deacon ministry, it was really a hard time for me because I had prayed and I'd prayed and I'd prayed. I hadn't done it lightly, as I never do anything lightly. If anybody knows me really well, they know I don't do anything lightly. And I even gave up my job. I was working and I felt God was saying, I want you to give up your job and give this 100% of your time. And I said to Clive, you know, and he said, yes, give it up and just give it 100%. I read a book about deaconhood. It was like a glove on my hand. I thought, my goodness me, this is my life. This is how I worship. This is how I pray. This is everything. So everything pointed to the fact that I was going to become a deacon. Everything. And everyone that I was walking with was saying the same thing. Yes, that's your calling. That's who you are. You're a deacon. Yes, yes. That's all I got. Yes. Every time, yes. So you can imagine my surprise when I went to candidate. And I knew straight away that I had not been accepted. I just knew it. As soon as I walked out of the place, I said to Clive, I've not been accepted. I just know it. I know it within my heart. And we went to this person's house, a friend of my Clive's, and I remember sitting in the bath absolutely heartbroken. I couldn't stop crying. And I said to the Lord, you know, these people have given us somewhere to stay the night. I cannot go downstairs and cry. I just cannot. I said, I just ask you now to dry up these tears and let me just go downstairs. And bless you, dried up the tears and I went downstairs. When the letter came, I was beside myself. I can't tell you. I was. Because I'd be so sure. I'd done all the right things. I'd discerned. I'd asked people, you know, I'd read a book, you know. Clive and I had organised a holiday. And as we went on holiday, somebody said to me, I recommend this book, How to Survive the Church. And I went, really? How to Survive the Church? Because at that time, I honestly did not want anyone to come near me. You know, none of the church leaders. I remember being at Selby Street and there was a minister and I thought, don't come near me. Don't come near me saying the words, you know. And I remember saying them. And this man said, read this book. And I realised that actually the church and the people were not the ones in control. It was God. And if he decided that all he wanted to do while I was candidating was to see if I would go and walk the miles and say yes to him. If that's what he wanted, then who am I to say? Who am I to say? You know, I wasn't. And as I read this book, I began to realize, because I was really cross with the hierarchy of the Methodist Church. I cannot tell you. I was very cross with them, very cross. And but then you see, God showed me. He showed me that actually, you didn't say, I will follow the church. You said, I will follow you. He didn't say, follow the church. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Go wherever I ask you to go. He said, if I but call your name, where you were to don't know, go where you don't know, and never be the same. Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life grow in you? Will you let me? Will you give me that right? Will you? And that's a question we're all asked, aren't we? We're all asked. Will you follow Jesus wherever he calls you? Will you go where you don't know? Will you? Will you? Will you give? I love this bit, which really spoke to me at that time. Will you love the you you hide? Will you love the you you hide? For often as we hide the you that we are in Christ. And he said, will you love it? Will you love it? I didn't like myself. I really didn't like myself. I used to say to people, I don't need anybody beating me up because I can beat myself up very well. You know, and we're all the same. We're all the same. We can all beat ourselves up. We don't need somebody pointing the finger at us and beating us up, do we? But God is saying, will you love that person? Because that person I love. So why would you hide them? Why would you hide them? Why would you not let them? Why would you not let them grow? And of course, the thing about being reshaped by God is kingdom. It's kingdom work. It's not church work. It's not church work. It's kingdom work. It's standing up, being strong, being like David. No matter what was on, whatever came to him, he stood strong and said to the Lord, you are my protector. You are my refuge. In you, I can do all things. In you, I can do all things. In you. Is that what you're saying this morning? Are you saying those words to the Lord yourself this morning? You are my refuge. You are my strength. You are everything. Are you saying that to God? Are you saying, here I am. Use me no matter where you put me. Whether in the kitchen, whether out front, whether as a welcomer, my goodness me, that's a really good job. A welcomer, because we need people who actually welcomes people in with a great heart, with a true heart. Meaning, yes, we do welcome you. Yes, we do want to know you. Yes, we want you part of the kingdom. If there's one thing, when I do the Alpha course with people, is I want to get people engaged with reading the Word again. With reading the Word of God again. Because to be honest, if you read this psalm, are you not enthralled by David? Are you not enthralled by him? The way he writes, the way he says things. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. No matter where he is, his heart is glad because he knows his God. He knows his God. And how do we get to know God? If we don't read the Word. You know, coming here once a week is not enough. It's not enough to know Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior of your life. And that's what I say to them at the Alpha course when it says about, why should I read the Bible? We've just done it. Why should I read the Bible? Goodness me, if we don't read the Word, if we don't sit with him, we'll not know him. We'll not know him. You'll come in here, you listen to a preach, and that's lovely. I mean, I'm glad you're here. Hey, I'm glad you're here. But it's not enough. It's not enough. It really isn't. David knew his God because he had a relationship. He had a relationship. We have a relationship if we want it. If we say, will you come and follow me? And we say, yes. Yes, no matter what, yes. No matter what my life brings, yes. No matter where I am, yes, Lord. I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I'd like to have had that sister act, you know, that song that she was singing, you know. It was quite good, wasn't it? It was like this. I sometimes think that's what we need. So there's some people to see that we're in here. And we've got something, because actually that is very true. We have something that is so precious that we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to follow Jesus into the world. It says, that we are, from John 17, this is Jesus. As you sent me, I have sent them. Jesus' mission is one of the dominant themes of the gospel. It is given as a pattern for his followers. We may long for heaven, but it is earth that our work is done. It is the earth that our work is done. So following Jesus, knowing him, having confidence in him, confidence in the living God, having confidence in Jesus Christ, the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, enabling us to truly follow him. I'd like to sing as a song at the end as I finish. And I'd like you to sit and I'd like you to sing it to your God. And it's Faithful One, as you're talking to your God. Faith.